Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and yes, at last, the true era of Anya Forger supremacy is now upon us. Watch and read Spy X Family. And with me, I have...
Maybe the secret to Operation Catfish lies within that bagel with everything on it.
And...
Morphe-XE has been rebooted. Last time you've seen him, he has been on the rant. He is now... Hey, what up, guys? What happened last week?
Well, technically the Grammys, but emotionally and spiritually, nothing.
Okay.
Always nothing.
Always nothing. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Apparently, I blanked out last week. I guess I don't know what happened.
I think you might have overexerted yourself. you might have to upgrade the internal RAM. Mm. Or is that an SSD problem? I don't know. I'm not a computer tech expert.
Yes.
Anyway. Here we are, episode 262. How's everyone's week been going?
It's been alright. Been a more of the usual, I guess. Went out to the movies, because I need to do that a little bit more, because... Well, I pay for AMC A-List, I may as well use it. And, I went and saw a pair of movies. I went and saw that, Sonic 2, which was a good time. I sense you're judging me for it, and I don't care.
I'm not. I didn't even go near the first one. I'm not going near any of this.
It's a fun time if you know what to expect, and like these freaking reviewers from the New York Post of all places, don't make me tap the sign again, guys.
Never take the New York Post seriously on anything ever. They are intellectual children.
Pretty much.
Which is an insult to actual children. Even they know better.
Owned by the fucking Murdoch estate. How pleasant for all of us.
Oh, that's okay. That's,
yeah. I also went and saw this other movie. A movie that claims to be everything, everywhere, all at once. Called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Now there's a movie I want to see.
It was very crazy and insane, but also very charming. My elevator pitch for it is, what if the Matrix had multiverse theory and the fate of the world lay in the hands of a middle-aged Chinese woman who just needs to talk with her gay daughter, figure out what to do about her dweeb husband, and finally stand up to her old-fashioned grandfather while also trying to get rid of this tax problem?
You had me at weeaboo husband.
No, I said dweeb husband.
Yeah, same thing.
You know, dweeb, dork, nerd.
Oh, yeah.
Weeb, you know.
Oh, yeah. First time we used since the 90s.
Yeah, but, very good movie. Go into it as blind as you can. You'll be pleasantly surprised by just how wild it gets. Yeah.
Cool. Mark, what about you?
Not much has happened to me. I've been doing some writing, and I'm gonna ask this question. Did anybody know that Close Enough has season 3 is out now?
Yeah, I actually sat through most of it. I made it up to the Halloween, special, and then I clicked off to watch a few other things. I'll go back to it and finish the rest of the season this week.
Okay. It just seems that, I don't know, it's just that, like, I mean, Buzz ain't been as, it ain't been as Buzz as it was the last couple of years. Just wondering if people fall off or something, or the issue of Max promoting enough, or like, that one was cool. I thought the season was fine. Like, I didn't like the Halloween episode, especially with Metro Ephesus, so yeah, there's that.
Oh, is that the one where they do the gag?
Hmm?
The one that I've been seeing spread around the Twitter?
Yeah.
What even is a fourth wall?
Yeah. Yeah, and It's pretty much that's all it for me. Like, I was gonna move this set. I just realized I was planning on the movie sooner or later, but I just either keep forgetting, or I ain't got time, or I don't know, some shit happens. But hey, I might see a new movie sooner or later. I mean, the Batman comes in a week, so.
Yeah, which I guess means I finally have to get around to that one.
Gotta make sure I guess that time, because I know that's a long motherfucker.
Apparently so.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it for me.
Anyway, as for me, just really trying to survive this last stretch, because I got 2 more weeks of classes proper, then finals week, and then I am fucking done. Thank Christ. I literally have my gowns, just hanging on the chair behind me that I'm sitting in as we speak. Speaking of chairs, I finally ordered something to replace this goddamn busted piston that keeps sinking. Don't you hate when that happens with, like, office and gaming chairs and shit? It's fucking annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Anyway, that's pretty much it. Not much else on my end other than... Oh, by the way, the guy who wrote Chainsaw Man put it out another one-shot. You should read it. It's fucking great. I can't believe this guy gets to keep writing the stories that he does. Like, holy shit. God bless Fujimoto. But anyway, we are, of course, going to continue on to the bulk of the podcast, which, of course, starts off with our usual weekly business, the news on discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes and mark your calendars with some potential new albums to anticipate. Starting right up at the top, this past week we got the announcement of a brand new album from the band Cave In, the first of theirs to be released on Relapse Records following their signing last year, and the first to feature recorded material with new bassist and backing vocalist Nate Newton joining the band following the untimely passing of original bassist Caleb Schofield. Apparently this new project, which for the record is titled Heavy Pendulum, will still feature some recorded material from Schofield on this record supposedly, at least from what I read in the press release and stuff. So, yeah, we got that marked down for a May 20th release, and we have the lead-off single here, Blinded by a Blaze. I definitely did not type a different form of that word in the document. There's a reason I'm majoring in stats and not in literature and English. Anyway, as for the song itself, this is on the overall more melancholic side of things. It's a very slow burn kind of song with its slow chugging tempo, this very somber set of guitar melodies and vocals from Steven Brodsky. The distortion, like, it starts off very clean. Eventually the distortion does kind of pick up after a couple minutes, but it's still very slow and deliberate, occasionally be punctuated by these weird it sounds like it's guitar harmonic effects. Like, at least from what I'm trying to see in the video, it kind of looks like that's what it's being played, but I'm not entirely sure. And just kind of maintains that kind of doom-laden pace all throughout. It's a solid enough lead-off. I'm curious to see where this album goes, especially with the new member and all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this has a bit of sludgy doom vibes to it. It's very brooding and resonant, if a bit too repetitive for its length, but I get the mood that they were going for on it, and I like it too.
All right, cool. Now to move on to the next couple of tracks here, which, hey, look at that, it's a whole bunch of, Mark material. Get used to that during the song discussion. This is very much a Mark-heavy week, if you will.
yeah, what happened since? It was a long time, but yeah, give it the endure me. So, anyway, so, Crowley Chris, he's back with a new album since he's been 2 years since his last album with Kiss Crease for Innocent Country 2. Now he's done a lot of like those stuff like after that, like he produced Homeboy Sandman's last time, Don't Feed the Monster. He's been featuring some tracks, you know, from Over My Eagle, Arm & Hammer, and even helped with the score of the Jews and Black Messiah.
So, oh shit, yeah, right, he was on that.
Yeah. Okay. You get an album called Death Fame, which comes out
May 13th.
May 13th, and he got a new single out with the title "Alive Ain't Always Living." And as we have here, we got this very melancholic vibe going on with this track. Okay, like I will say it's got this, you know, soulful fuzzed out vibe, which it's got something weird going on, which he's, you know, he goes over this form, this gospel style organs. It's not about how great it was to be alive, but you know, he's kind of like going slow with. And it goes over just like, you know, like I'm really glad about life, I'm always living, all that type of shit. It's kind of interesting track to hear from him. It's like, oh, okay. I can sort of feel this a bit. Like, I know, like in the last few years, like I have like I don't sound like Curly Crisp, where I do still like his as an artist record. Like, I haven't, you know, been high on his albums. Like, it's still good, but ain't in my list. But like, yeah, I can definitely vibe with this. I can really go with this track. It's something I mean, I would go for.
Yeah, it's solid enough as far as Quality Crisp material is concerned. Honestly, the beat kind of sounds like a slowed down soundtrack piece from like a sitcom or something. Maybe that's just me. Anyway, on to the next track.
Yeah, okay. Oh, looky, it's IDK time.
And this one's kind of a loosey track,
which is produced by the one and only Kay Trinada.
Hey.
I used to collab, like, okay, and I got this one tracker called Taco.
Sadly, we're recording this on a Monday.
Yeah. And also sad, you got to do actual tacos. In fact, they think it's talking about the same for a bullet casing. In fact, it says in the video, like near the end, it says, "Yeah, that's what it means," sort of, at least to them. But yeah, now going on this beat is like, this is something I never heard IDK did in a while, is using Kitchenado's signature dizzy jazz style. Was like, this should make you want to dance on this shit. Like this. This week I want to move, like, okay, I'm actually kind of feeling this beat. I'm kind of feeling this is something like you would hear on Kitchenado's last album, Bubba, and of course with a track Taco, we find, you know, IDK spins verse about, you know, street life, raw life, which he goes up like, y'all niggas is pussy, ain't no debating game, ain't no complaining or faking it, I'm a dick, you taking it. Okay, and anything just got to talk about him going around, it was black and white, it's going around, which people was shot nice, and like I said, I'm surprised to go to a beat like this, which I never heard him on a Kitchenado beat, which he sounds good on it, like, yeah, I was definitely jamming to this, like, yeah.
Solid bars, and honestly, probably one of the best instrumentals I've heard from Kay Trinada in a while. Fantastic. Anyway, moving on to the next track here, and look at the time. It's progressive metal band side and or solo project O'Clock. Been a while since we've had to use that one. But yeah, in the case of this particular instance of that time, Charlie Griffiths, guitarist for the progressive metal band Haken, I still haven't figured out how that name is pronounced.
I think it's Haken.
That makes sense. Yeah, so the guitarist of Haken is gearing up for a solo album to come out on June 17th, titled, and let me try here, Tikalika?
I think it's Tikalika. It's meant to be some kind of dinosaur-related terminology, I think.
That would explain the video, but we'll get to that. So, yeah, new solo album June 17th, and we have the lead-off single here titled Arctic Cemetery, which features guest vocals courtesy of none other than Tommy Rogers of Between the Buried and Me fame. And, of course, this being a solo album from a prog guitarist, that kind of makes itself known right off the bat, as the intro focuses on a lot of melodic guitar interplay between, you know, two guitar leads. As the song eventually, you know, ramps up its momentum into some heavier bits that honestly kind of remind me of the more, like, metal banger side of like the Dream Theater spectrum, just those kinds of very heavy, thick riffing and everything, eventually leading into those very, very always solid shouts and screams from Tommy Rogers here. Of course, the guitar trickery and shreddery extends into some whammy bar fueled lead soloing. Holy shit, is that Bob Ross? Sorry, I got distracted by the video. Yeah, speaking of the dinosaur thing, the music video has a lot of very strange framing through like a television set in a kitchen. There's like fucking dinosaur skeletons and shit in the Arctic. I think the whole song itself is supposed to be some thing about evolution, which, I mean, you know, prog metal makes sense, but I wasn't paying attention to that. I was too busy trying to, you know, take in all like the rhythms with the weird random jittery momentum and some of the more harder like double kick parts with a lot of shreddy solos over top as well. It's good stuff. I like it.
Yeah. I can describe this track as what if Between the Buried and Me was in 4/4 time, which it has a lot of those heavy features to it, which I like. Also some melody, which I also like, and some fantastic guitar shredding, which again, I like. Now, because this is a prog metal concept album, don't ask me about what any of the lyrical themes mean, because I don't know. All I know is that, yeah, the video has a cartoon fossil in it, and everything sounds great. Let me see who produced this album. Why does it sound so great? Oh, hey! Nolly! No wonder it sounds so good. Yeah, the album's coming out in June. It's got some other features on here. Daniel DeJean from Textures, Neil Purdy from Luna's Call, Darby Todd is on drums. He played with Devin Townsend at Bloodstock last year.
Nice.
Saxophonist Rob Townsend, who worked with Steve Hackett, is somewhere on the album. And, oh, hey, Jordan Rios of Dream Theater is in here, too. Fantastic.
Oh, man, that's going to be great.
Yeah, it's like a modern prog metal all-star album, which that's pretty cool. I just wonder what the album is actually going to be, you know, telling, because we got dinosaurs, and that's all we know so far.
And Bob Ross. Don't forget Bob Ross.
Well, honestly, I would say Bob Ross's non-union equivalent.
Yeah, I can't even think of a funny name to side that, but anyway, we are going to, of course, move on. We got another batch of, you know, hip-hop jams here, starting, of course, with the new one from Schoolboy Q. It's been a while since we've heard from him, hasn't it?
Yeah, since 2019 with Crash Talk. And I'm not, I don't really go back to, because it was cool, but it got less, it didn't got less replay value, to be honest. And now I got this new joint right here, which is called Sucker Dad. And I've been going to see what the stuff I've been doing, and I gotta say this, maybe because this was just like I mean the beat at first I thought it was kind of intriguing. It's like it's a loop going over and over and over and over again, where it's like, is this something going to happen to it? It just feels like it's going through its loop. And I don't really feel it much at all. I don't feel much at all. Like, lyric-wise, he's okay. Lyric-wise, he's fine. I mean, he's okay on that part. Like, okay, yeah, it's like, you pussy niggas know about my body, caught my second wind, quitting like me and my crew niggas, and be able to represent. There's a lot of horns. Very, very, very lot of horns. It's like at first, then I was like, okay, can you choose something else that's getting kind of monotonous? Like, I don't know, like.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know how to describe the beat other than it sounds like, I don't know, it sounds like Action Bronson's Leftovers or something.
Funny you mentioned that name.
You know what? Let's go to the next track. Let's go to the next track. So, as mentioned before, Mr. Action Brasolino, or Brasolini, whatever.
Bam Bam Baklava.
Right. Okay, and if I, you got a lot of ice cream, Okay. What does he got? So anyways, you know, he made title One for Dolphins. That came like 2020, which was on my honorable mentions. And now we got a new album coming out this year, which is titled, and I'm gonna, it's called Coco Drillo Turbo.
I don't know what that is. Is that a drug? Is it pronounced Cocodrillo?
Maybe.
Is it a milk anime?
That honestly, this kind of sounds like something that would be like, you know, front and center in like a discotheque day stream.
Yeah.
Cocodrillo Turbo on Blu-ray soon.
Apparently it's inspired by water. As he said, I first came up with the album while in the water. I spent many lifetimes in the water. I'm just a water man. I was born in the water. I'm a water sign. Okay, Katara. Okay. Because anyway, first single is called Zub Zero, which is produced by a Wookiee. Wookiee, our old friend the Alchemist produces this one.
Hey, the man never sleeps.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got that right. And then you get this very hazy, kind of insane beat for him. And of course, if you know Action Bronson a lot, you kind of know his lyrics are basically word salad food, whatever the fuck he says. Like,
You gotta go like
chicken legs flying me every motherfucking which away, hash brown away, I'm motherfucking switching lanes, my pants rip away. And of course you got this video, which apparently a tsunami hits New York and he's riding on a boogie board, which got him riding everywhere in a croc out in the water, and there's a crocodile, and he ate by the crocodile or something happens. I don't know what the fuck.
It has all the aesthetics of a Tim and Eric sketch, is what it is.
What about this one on Adult Swim? Shit. this be a crazy joint. And it's here, but the album, which has appearances by Kind of Machine, Mark Marciano, Hologram, Mayhem, Lorraine, and production from, of course, you know, Danger, Alchemist, Marciano, and of course, Bronson and stuff, which, okay, I'm looking forward to see what's going on there. And I almost forgot that he was signed to Loma Vista.
Everybody signs to Loma Vista nowadays. I don't get it.
I must have missed something then.
Okay,
this requires further investigation.
Yeah, I guess they must treat their people well. I don't know.
Probably. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, as we all are aware, there is a brand new Rammstein album, Zeit, dropping literally at the end of the month, April 29th. And so we had the title track released as the first single, and now we have track number two here called... When I read the title at first, I pronounced it Zigzag, but listening to how it's sung in the song, I think it's enunciated like Zik-Tok or... They pronounce the Z like it's a T, so the way it sounds in context is like TikTok, which, you know, I thought the same thing about, you know, that one app thing that, like, you know, I maybe spend a bit too much time on, but nonetheless. So, anyway, getting into the song itself, I think compared to the more dramatic nature of the title track we got first, this feels like more of what you'd expect from a Rammstein song, with, like, actual structure and, like, a riff, even if the riff kind of repeats itself a lot throughout the song. You have four on the floor, you know, drum rhythm, the occasional punctuation of those weird synths, whether it's that staccato thing in the chorus or, like, those very strange prolonged melodies, and what I'm assuming is some sort of, very unsubtle commentary on, like, I don't know, stardom and showbiz via a music video with a lot of deliberately grotesque prosthetics and very garish, like, Vegas glam costuming and stuff. Again, with the language barrier, I'm not entirely sure, but I'm pretty sure this is saying something about that.
Yeah, it's saying, what will Aerosmith look like in 10 years?
Wait, they don't look like that now?
Steven Tyler kind of does, but yeah, that's a discussion for another day. But this is, I mean, wasn't too big on the Pac-Man synth sound in there. And yeah, this is definitely a Rammstein video with all the shenanigans you'd expect. I don't know. This isn't doing much for me. Like, I'm just not shocked anymore. Nothing they do really shocks me anymore. Once you reach the point where you have a giant dick cannon and you do a music video that's half porn and you do whatever Deutschland and that last song was, like, nothing can shock me from these guys anymore. I'm sorry.
I mean, for me, it's never really been a matter of shock value. Like, I'm used to it. I just wish there was a bit more going on musically.
Yeah, this is kind of alluding to one of my fears with this new album, is that they're trying to say things. We've had enough of albums that are trying to say things. Yet we still have that fucking Muse album to look forward to. A goodie for us.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Funnily enough, happening the week after that Rammstein album comes out, so still presumably riding high off the success of collaborating with Lil Nas X, looks like the industry baby, well, okay, he's probably not the industry baby, but anyway, that one guy, Jack Harlow, he's got a new album coming out soon. It's called Come Home, The Kids Miss You, again, dated for May 6th. And we have the new single from here called First Class, which, wait a second, is that a fucking Fergie sample?
Yep.
Homie, you really sample Fergie from 2006?
Okay.
I mean, at best, I can say at least it wasn't London Bridge, but that's not really saying much.
No, it's and, no, it's not.
Oh, God. Yeah, fuck, it's Fergie. we don't speak of London Bridge. Is Fergie even still around? I don't even know anymore.
Last time I heard her, she butchered the national anthem at the NBA All-Star game a couple years ago, and we haven't heard her since.
Oh dear God!
Yeah, I think she just came and went. That's the last time I heard of her.
Yeah, but anyway, as for the rest of the song outside of that friggin' that glamorous sample in the chorus, this just isn't all that special. It's another one of those, oh, I'm rich, but I'm kind of sad about stuff sometimes, maybe. The fuck is a Givenchy, though? I had to spend some time Googling that around, because, I mean, look, I'm way too used to Louis Vuitton, Prada, Gucci. Apparently, this is some kind of French fashion and perfume brand. Its most high-profile spokesperson throughout the entirety of its history was, you know, the iconic classic Hollywood actress Audrey Hepburn. So, I don't know, credit for at least going out of the way for your fashion brand reference. But, this is just nothing. Like, fuck, at least What's Poppin' had a vaguely memorable piano thing, you know?
Yeah, there isn't really much going for it. I mean, get something called First Class, which is like, okay, and I get where this will come from. At least it can do the other thing from that song. But yeah, there's not really much special going on to it. It's like, I know Jack Harlow is, very up and popping since, this is blow up and also the KFC thing.
Yeah,
but that's about it.
Yeah, not much else to add. So, moving on to the last song here. Speaking of fast food references, looks like we got a new single from Pusha T here, but this time he is not shilling for fast food.
Nope, he's on his shit again. And this is coming with some familiar people. Jay-Z and Pharrell Williams, which, hey, for the first time, it's produced by Pharrell Williams. So that way... Yeah, what the title's called Neck and Wrist. Which is basically, okay, look, it's Pusha T. What is he going to talk about? How does he rap? I mean, you get to the hook, okay, I was like, it was a song, but he raps like what he usually does, which is fine. It was like, all right, he's still on his old cocaine shit, which is still good. Fro does the hook, which, okay, I did kind of like a bit, although him trying to sound scary isn't that intimidating, because I don't find you kind of scary for real. Come on, you're the guy that wears the big ass hat and does score for the Illumination movies.
Oh god, he's gonna pop up in the fucking Mario movie, isn't he?
I don't know. I don't know, maybe. And Jay-Z's verse. Yeah, and Jay-Z's verse, which, okay, it's not too shabby. I mean, most of Jay-Z's verse in person has been either meh, and also the fact that, well, I was about to rap about this shit, even though, well, you're, well, you know, a millionaire, you know, a millionaire or a billionaire, is like, I mean, you can't really relate to this shit anymore. What it's like, I mean, and it's right here, but the first you got, all right, this is decent. The song is like, you know, it's very decent. Like, although I will say, according to this, like you said, both the previous tracks we said will be featured on the Ye side of a new album. Which, what does that mean?
Drugs?
I guess.
Yeah, I don't really know things like that. I just know this song is pretty good. And that about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a bit of news here, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, we have a few news items to discuss here. The first of these involves a pretty substantial length of time. First off, a time span of about 24 years, all the way back to the year 1998. It's a strange time to think about. That was like 24 years ago.
Damn.
And specifically, September 29th, 1998, the release of an album called Mos Def and Talib Kweli Are Black Star. And I probably butchered both of those names, or at least Talib Kweli. I've honestly never been sure how you pronounce his name. But yeah, obviously a lot changed in 24 years. Notably, Mos Def goes by Yasiin Bey now. But apparently the two have finally announced that after that extremely long length of time, they are putting out a second full-length album under the name Black Star. The new project is called No Fear of Time. Okay. Like, they certainly don't fear time, all right? Because, seriously, just to give you a perspective how long ago that was, at the time that album came out, One Piece had been running in Weekly Shonen Jump for 9 months. That's like barely hitting 50 chapters. What the fuck? Oh, how the years...
How time flies by. Also, we're old.
Anyway, the new album is produced by Madlib. Nice choice.
Yeah.
And it's getting released on May 3rd on a podcasting platform called Luminary. Okay.
Okay.
Is this like one of those ones that, like, you know, mid-tier popular YouTubers are usually shilling for? Or am I thinking of fucking... God, what's the one I'm thinking of? I don't know. I lose track of all these, you know?
Okay.
Well, it says here that they have a program on this platform. The Midnight Miracle, which they do with Dave Chappelle.
Fuck!
There's the catch to all of this. I knew there was an asterisk somewhere here.
Do I want to know?
I think the answer is no.
Oh, that's right. I didn't forget that they didn't appear in that one Chappelle movie, The Block Party, back in 2004.
Oh, you know, God. What I mean? Yeah, I just okay. saw it in the article. I just saw it.
I just saw it too, or I just saw it like, oh, fuck.
Like, I was confused. Like, honestly, I was expecting, like, the reaction to be like, oh, God, please don't tell me these two are into NFTs. I'm not sure if this is much better, though. But, yeah, like, so.
Like, oh, boy, you're making. Yeah, I didn't know about that till now. It's like, oh, wow. I mean, I would be excited, except this is 2022, and I saw 2021 Chappelle, and it was not good.
And the ass and hole was shown.
In fact, Uncle Elevation, most comedians I love back in the day, kind of soured on me right now.
Yeah. It did be like that, you know?
A lot of folks love showing their ass nowadays.
Yeah, going back to watch Uncle Brother ain't gonna be good now. In fact, I didn't remember it on Twitter a week ago, but yeah, just.
So, yeah, I guess look forward to that. For the people that subscribe to Luminary. But anyway, time to move on to the next bit of news here, where we go up to the silver screen, and of course, the still ongoing realm of reboots, remakes, sequels, adaptations, etc. You know, because that's where the bulk of the industry is at right now, where it seems like everything gets a revival at some point. In this case, you might remember the 1994 film adaptation of The Crow. I do believe that was an adaptation of some kind of comic book, I want to say.
Yes, it was an adaptation. And honestly, the movie was pretty good. Too bad it has a sad shadow on it.
Yeah.
The existence of the movie forever being marred by the accidental onset death of Brandon Lee from a defective gun blank. But, of course, as with most things, it wasn't, you know, alone for too long. There was, of course, the sequel City of Angels, and there have been many reboot attempts since then, with various figures attached to it, including the likes of Jason Momoa, Mark Wahlberg, Bradley Cooper, apparently. But anyway, it seems like we've gotten another, you know, update to the long list of developments here, as apparently FKA Twigs is starring in the upcoming reboot of The Crow. She's starring alongside Bill Skarsgård, who, remind me, he played Pennywise in the It remakes, right?
I think that's it.
I'm trying to remember. I think it was some kind of Skarsgård. Pretty sure it was Bill.
Yeah, I think it was Bill.
That was a really good performance in those movies. I like that. But, yeah, so Bill Skarsgård starring. We have a script by Zach Balin, who did the film King Richard. And directed by Rupert Sanders, who did Snow White and the Huntsman. And
wait,
I feel like I'm just going to ask, he directed that garbage Ghost in the Shell movie, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a reason why we haven't had this reboot made in 25 years. I'm just saying.
If this is the best you got, like, if you're picking Rupert goddamn Sanders of all people, whose film credits include a movie that barely anyone ever saw and a direct insult to one of the most important and influential films in the history of Japanese animation and just science fiction as a genre. Yeah, I don't think this is going to be good.
Filming begins in June, so who knows what's going to happen going forward.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, I hope FKA Twigs gets a decent paycheck out of it.
Yeah. And hopefully, and I mean this in the most sincere way, nothing bad happens.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially with the amount of controversy there's been lately about, on-set, prop gun safety, especially after the whole Alec Baldwin debacle during that one movie.
Yeah.
We don't need repeats of that.
Right, yeah, we don't.
Anyway, now to move on to the last topic here, where we have a festival lineup announcement, specifically for the 2022 iteration of Boston Calling, taking place from May 27th to the 29th at the Harvard Athletic Complex in Boston, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Before we go on, I just want to mention, this was actually previously announced, but because of what happened with the Foo Fighters, they had to drop out, and a new headliner for one of the nights had to be announced. So here we go again.
Yes, here we go. So, of course, might as well start off with the first day here, May 27th. Your big headliner, if I recall correctly. It's kind of in a weird list form, but I hope the list is at least accurate to the poster.
It is.
All right, cool. So your headliner for May 27th is Nine Inch Nails.
And of course, they're taking place of Foo Fighters on the day because, you know.
Yeah. Following from there, you of course have Rufus Du Sol, Haim, Avril Lavigne, Cheap Trick, Oliver Tree, The Struts, Paris Jackson, The Backseat Lovers, Grandson, Paris, Texas, Mob Rich, Pom Pom Squad, Born Without Bones. Oh, it's like that one guy from SpongeBob. Avenue, Miranda Ray, and The Chelsea Curve. Yeah, so there's your lineup for that day. Alex, you want to cover the 28th?
I'll let Mark cover the 28th. I'll do the 29th.
All right. Okay, so the lineup for the 28th, we got The Strokes. Okay, then.
Yeah, they're still a thing.
Up next, Run the Jewels.
Yay.
RTJ, motherfuckers. All right, here we got, oh, looky, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Oh, yeah, that new double album's coming out soon.
All right, okay, first we got the Black Pumas. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
Vaguely.
They pop up in, like, Grammy nominations sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, we got look here, Earth Gang. We got the Orville Peck. We got Kenny Hoopla.
Must be a lot of
Hoopla. Hoopla. Ow.
Must be a lot of hoopla to make a Krabby Patty, right? Wrong.
All right. We got Sedan Archives. Celeste, I don't know.
I got no clue.
Hines.
I Francis think they've been on Adult Swim compilations before.
Okay. Francis Forever. Okay.
Francis, I think.
Okay. Charlotte Sands. Julie Rhodes. Van Buren Records. Coach McGurk, Ali McGurk. Cold Moons and Dutch Tulips.
All right. Those are certainly artists on a festival lineup, all right?
Yep.
And now that leaves Alex to cover May 29th.
Yeah. And your headliner is, as has been stated earlier, Metallica. Very good. And then it gets worse with Weezer.
Oh, dear God.
And Glass Animals.
Who are no longer the number one song.
Thank you, Harry Styles, for finally getting rid of them from the top spot. This is the one time I will accept a Harry Styles song being number one.
Be gone with your vibes, Glass Animals.
Yeah. Very boring vibes. Anyway, we also have Modest Mouse, I'm going to try and do this right. Honk! Honk! Goose.
Peace was never an option.
We also have Ripe. Japanese Breakfast. Cults.
Them, Peach. I'm pretty sure, were on an Adult Swim compilation, like, way back in the day.
Okay. Peach Tree Rascals. Horse Girl. Joe, with a D. Cam Meekins. Oompa.
No Loompa.
Okay. Cliff Notes, with a Z. Crooked Coast. Aaron and the Lord, and Paper Tigers.
Those are artists that I guess exist.
Those are names.
A little bit of everything for everyone, I guess.
Okay, I gotta ask, why does Peace Tree Rascal sound like a made-up band from Ed, Ed and Eddie?
Now, if it were the Peach Creek Rascals, I'd agree with you.
Oh, those rascals. So, yeah, that's your updated lineup for Boston Calling, new headliners and all. I still don't know who, like, 75% of these people are, but, hey, you know, good for the Kenny Hoopla fans.
They are eaten.
So, that pretty much takes care of all that, so we're going to move on to, you know, the last little thing we have to take care of here, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of April 15th, 2022. Starting at the top, we have a new album from Fozzy with Boombox. We have a new project from Cancer Bats with Psychic Jailbreak. We have a new project from the band Monuments with In Stasis. We have a new set of recordings from Spanish Love Songs, Brave Faces, etc., a series of re-recordings and reworkings of tracks from Brave Faces Everyone. There's apparently a new Jewel album called Freewheelin' Woman. And we have a new project from Swedish House Mafia, their debut album, in fact, Paradise Again.
They will be headlining Coachella this weekend and next weekend because Kanye West decided, you can't fire me, I quit.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I will not be talking about Coachella. I'll probably be talking about how stupid and silly and weird Power Rangers still is, because, yeah, the 90s were weird.
Yes, it was. Mark, what about you?
As usual, on Twitter, Metal Media, on my site, myhavone.com. Of course, all week I've been doing a lot of, you know, anime seasonal first impression shit, which, you know, so you should watch, like for example, Spy X Family, watch that. And, yeah, that's all I got, but, yeah, it's mostly good, too. And, of course, the first part of Warding Up. Like, this week, it'll be on hiatus. Like, War Chest will come, presumably, next week or so, yeah.
Yeah. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me robert@surrealresolution.com for written article, for, you know, questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel. So subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SurrealResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord as well for any and all shit posts and food takes and all that stuff. And yeah, pretty much about does it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. So until next time, stay tuned for Decibel Boost Final Season Part 5, coming soon. Maybe. I don't know. Oh, God.